Welcome to the So You Can Relate podcast.
Hi guys, welcome back to another episode. I'm feeling the pressure because someone's watching me in the room. And my cousin is here in the room and I'm feeling the pressure. Like, I'm fumbling over my words already. She's in that yellow chair staring at us. Anyway. But yeah, guys, we're back with another episode. And we're doing a Q&A this time.
Yes, with each other.
With each other, which we haven't done in a while. I feel like the last time we did something like this was when we did the interview episodes.
That was like when we stood in single digit episodes, I think.
That was
ages and ages ago.
I know, I haven't listened to that in time, to be fair. Sometimes I do reminisce and listen back. I haven't listened to those ones.
Sometimes I'd be laughing, you know, like, well, that was funny.
And I'd be so embarrassed. I'm like, Joyce, calm down. Like, it's okay.
Yeah, same.
Oh my gosh. So, the first question is, explain your Twitter handle.
Okay, me. My Twitter handle is a defilur.
Defilur.
So embarrassing. But I literally, when I was younger, my sister's name is Maya, right? And my auntie used to call my sister's name. She used to be like, Maya. And she used to like roll that song. It didn't make any sense. But I just thought it sounded so cool. So yeah. I was like, let me do that for my own name since no one's doing it for me. So I just got rid of the A at the end and put URR there. And I just use it for my handles now. That's literally it.
It's really cool, you know.
Thank you. It was my auntie's.
That's
idea.
The story behind that. That's
yeah,
so cool.
I just
and it's on your Instagram, everything. Like, it's
yeah, that's just the handle I use.
Okay, lovely.
Question for you.
Yes.
Who inspires you and why?
So deep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have like a whole, I think I've mentioned this before, I have a whole list of like inspirational people that I write down in my notes because I'm that weird. And I don't know, I just want to remember like, oh, I've like why this person's really inspired me. I would say like my go-to person is Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie. I absolutely love her. Mm-hmm. Everything about her, I love the way she writes. Like, I've read all her books. I love her fashion sense. I love the way she's so like eloquent and she speaks so well. She's so intelligent.
Yeah.
Oh, I love the way she like simplifies feminism, because I know that's like a trigger word for a lot of people. And
oh,
and yeah, but I like that she's just stripping it, because you know what? Anything you're a part of or anything that you identify with has extremes to it. And it does kind of frustrate me when I hear people talking about feminism only in the extreme sense. And I get that there's loads of like extremes to it and some parts of feminism that don't necessarily coincide with Christianity. But what I like about Chimamanda, she's stripping it down away from the theory to the practicality of like what it is to be a woman in this day and age, and what it is to be a Black African woman at that. Because I think people always try to discuss feminism in the Western context. And for some people in the Western context, you know, we've come so far, we're liberated, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But for a lot of us, when we go back home to Uganda, oh, I got a witness here.
Yeah.
You know, things are a bit different. Like, you realise how much we need help in that department of just providing equal rights for both men and women. And it's crazy that we're still having these conversations to this day. That's what I would say.
Yeah.
She inspires me. I really like her.
Yeah. I like what you said about things in the West are different compared to things back home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons why I identify with womanism more than with feminism. Mm-hmm. It definitely counts as for oppressed groups, basically.
Yeah.
And I always use a simple example, and I think it was Audre Lorde said it in her book about master's tools, or one of her essays. And she was like, while there was all this liberation happening in the 50s and all these women going out and getting their rights or whatever, these white women at home, their kids were looking after by Black women.
Right.
And it's like there was a certain degree of freedom, but for a certain type of woman. And on the same note, in terms of feminism and it not being applicable to all people from all over the world, when you think about intersections of feminism and the fact that what we see as unfair for women somewhere in Africa is only unfair to us because we don't have the truth of their context, that's how you start to realize feminism can't just be applied plainly to every single thing. So I appreciate how people are being a bit more open to that now and a bit more aware of how different theories have to be expanded if they're really going to count of everybody as they should, you know.
You're so right. And I think even for like African people, cultural context has to be taken into consideration, because I think the Western culture has its own, you know, ideals that it lives by and people kind of society plays to. And then you're trying to get something, maybe a theology that was birthed out of that culture and applying it to another culture, which, like you said, you need to take that into consideration. So, you know what? I'm on that womanist train with you. I am aware that like a lot of the feminist ideology is rooted in or is for the white woman.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, that doesn't really include me or the women I know. Yeah. So yeah, I think, yeah, something that I do want to read more into it and kind of get more into it because, yeah, I would like to have a better understanding of it.
Yeah, I think it literally just boils in its plainest context. It's like the equality of the races, or sorry, the equality of the genders or the sex or whatever, while considering other oppressions such as race,
right,
such
exactly.
as class, such as, I don't know, where you are in society or whatever, and how that impacts how you are treated as a woman as well. So yeah, that's why I like it.
The next question is, do you care what others think about you?
No, I don't care at all. Who cares? No, okay. Of course I care. I think I care. I used to care more than I do now. But the only reason I care less now is because I'm reminding myself that I shouldn't care as much. But I think naturally we do care because as human beings, we want to be accepted. We want to be loved by people. And we realize that if there are certain things about us that might not be socially accepted, we want to hide those things so that people can take us in.
Right.
And that makes it the case that you now care what people think about you because you don't want to be isolated. But I think nowadays it's like if people just think you're weird or if people think you're doing the most, if people don't like you, that's their own business. And what's most important is you just caring about what you think about yourself. And I think once you have that power and once you realise that I'm amazing or that I'm this and that I'm that, no one can take that away from you and you place way less value on what people think about you. So I have to remind myself of that every single day. Like, yeah, I care naturally, but I'm trying to care less so that I can actually be as free as I want to be in this world, you know?
Yeah, you're so right. I think for me as well, I'm similar to you in that way. Like, I do care to a certain degree because I think sometimes what people think about you is reflective of what your character is. So if you have a poor character, people are more likely not going to like you or they're not going to gravitate towards you. But everything has a limit to it, you know? There's only so... You can't please everyone, basically. And I think the big epiphany that I got in my teenage years is that not everyone likes you, Joyce.
Yeah.
And you cannot force people to like you or to understand you or to give you the benefit of the doubt. All you have control over is how you conduct yourself and what you do and what you don't do. So, yeah, I think, yeah, there's like a balance to it.
Has anybody ever made it obvious to you that they just don't like you?
Yeah, oh, definitely.
How did you deal with that, though?
How did I deal with it? I was young though, like this is, I'm talking about secondary school, like when people make it blatantly obvious they don't like you and they're trying to disrespect you. My whole thing was like, I'm not a victim. Like I just was like, no one wants to be picked on or bullied or anything. So I feel like I would automatically go into like defense mode of like, I don't want you to make a fool out of me type of thing. But now I feel like during uni and post uni, I didn't really come across people that like genuinely didn't like me. Mm-hmm. Because I think another thing I learned was to stop giving myself to people that for no reason. Do you get it? You know, I don't want to say being overly friendly, but you know when you like, you should be investing in the people that are your friends and are your people. Mm-hmm. So to be investing in someone that you can sense is giving you the cold shoulder is just something I don't want to be a part of anymore.
Like, and it's weird to not make that sound transactional.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to just give to you in the hopes that you'll be all receptive and that you'll give to me. But sometimes it's like, this person doesn't want you full stop.
They don't. And take a hint, babe. Like, honestly, take a hint. Not everyone's going to vibe with you. And that's okay because you're not going to vibe with everyone. Like, there's people that you meet and in your head, you might be like, oh my gosh, she's so loud. Oh my goodness. Like you're not going to necessarily automatically click with them. And yeah, that's okay. Mm.
What are you most looking forward to?
I like this question. Mm-hmm. The first thing that came to my mind is I'm looking forward to making that money. Where the money resides. What am I most looking forward to? I think, yeah, getting into my career, because I think like up till now that's been the focus. Like, you know, I need to finish this stage, do my GCSEs, do my A-levels, do my undergrad, go to law school, and now I feel like I'm on the tip of the iceberg to actually beginning my career and doing what I've always wanted to do. So I'm really looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to helping people and enjoying my work. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like that's what I'm looking forward to right now.
Do you think that when it all starts, it's going to be everything you imagined?
No, because when I started my placement, it was not everything I meant. I actually, like, I proper had imposter syndrome when I started my placement. I was like, what am I doing here? Mm. They wanted me to be here. They chose the wrong girl. Like dealing with, like, all the different softwares and all that was required that necessarily didn't learn from the law degree. I was like, wow. But after a while, you just do pick things up and you just do get better. And I hope I'm the kind of person that doesn't stay in an unfulfilled workplace, because there's a difference between, like, okay, not every aspect of your job is going to be fun. Mm. And I'm actually sad here. Mm. I hope I know the difference.
Yeah. I feel like sometimes as well, we definitely get stuck in that space, because it's like, well, especially if you have like a good salary, for example, mm-hmm. and you're doing something that really matters, especially with law, I feel like it always matters.
Right.
Sometimes you might have that, having to find that balance between, am I just leaving selfishly because I want more for myself, or is this what the working world is like? And sometimes I'm like, maybe I'm not satisfied, but this is the best that it gets. And this is just what it's like to be an adult, to have a job that's low-key unfulfilling, but, you know, everyone's unfulfilled.
But then maybe you can find fulfillment in other parts of your life. Do you get it?
Yeah, but it's like, if working is such a big part of your life, shouldn't I at least
12 hours a day?
Shouldn't I at least be happy here?
Yeah, ideally you should, but sometimes you don't have a choice, and so you have to, you know. Do you ever meet people that, like, okay, I found this a lot when I was in secondary school. Like, I feel like a lot of, okay, I don't mean to come for teachers, because I have a lot of friends that are teachers, yeah, but these are not them anyway. It's not them. Right, they're unfulfilled in their personal life, or they lack power in their personal life. And so they're going to exert every ounce of power they can on 14-year-old. Mm-hmm. When you think about it, you're like, I was 14 and you were going par to par with me like I was 27.
Yeah.
You were going bright red and your veins were coming out. Get therapy. Thank God that we're in the age of people getting therapy, because it's necessary. And so, yeah, they're unfulfilled in their life, so they're like craving it. And so, yeah, I think you do have to have a balance, and you have to think about, yeah, what matters to me? What do I actually like what I'm doing? It's okay. Like, if you went to uni and study something you don't like, it's fine. I like people like that. I don't like it. Mm. I spent 4 years on it. I learned what I had to learn, and I don't want to do it. Yeah. Like you always say, don't be afraid to change your mind. Mm. What's the next question? What is one rule in your life that you follow?
How did I make that sound? One rule that I follow in my life. Like, don't let your feelings and your emotions control you, which is quite crazy because I'm a very emotional person.
Yeah.
But because of that, I've had to tell myself that you can't let this control you, because you're going to fall apart, and you've fallen apart in the past, and it was really hard to put yourself back together. When I was learning how to do shorthand back during my NCTJ, my shorthand teacher was always saying to us, it's like learning how to drive. Like, you learn everything, and by the time your test comes, you know how to drive, but because you're so anxious, you might fail it. And people fail their shorthand exams all the time because they know how to write in shorthand. But when the time comes, you have to get it word for word. You have space for about 7 errors if you want to write at 100 words a minute, which is quite a lot, obviously. It's like, you know how to write it, and when you're practicing, you can do it. But when it comes to the exam, you just crumble and you keep failing and you keep failing. And I was like, that can't be my story. And I want to pass by my birthday. So I started the course in March, and my birthday is in July. So I had was that 4 months? Mm-hmm. I had 4 months to pass it, basically. And she was like, you know, if you fail, to everybody, if you fail, it's fine. People always fail. Just get on with it. And during the exam, what would happen is people knew how to do shorthand, etc., but their hands would be literally shaking so much that they literally can't even write. Because it's like, how the hell am I going to write 100 words in a minute? Yeah. And if you know what shorthand looks like, it looks like hieroglyphics. It's very confusing.
Shaking.
Yeah, shaking. So when I was practicing, it's not funny. People really battle through this thing. Bare reason.
I'd be like, you got to take it easy, girl.
No, you tell that to yourself till the exam comes.
1 minute to write 100 words.
Yes. No, the rate is, it's like a 5-minute exam.
Yeah.
The first is like, I think it's like a 2-minute. Like 2 minutes of them talking.
Okay.
So you're writing 200 words in 2 minutes. And then you get a 30-second break, and then you have 1 minute.
Oh, 30 seconds. Thank you so much.
You have 1 minute to write again.
So you have to retain what they've told you and write.
You're writing as they're saying.
Oh, got you.
In shorthand.
Right.
And then you have 1 minute writing, and then you have like a maybe 15-second break, and then you have a part at the end where they say a few sentences and you need to get down the key information word for word.
Oh,
but you don't know what sentence it is until it comes up. Oh. Anyways, so you can imagine that's quite nerve-wracking. And she was like, you know, it's likely that you might fail and you're gonna have to reset it like a driving test. You know how to drive, but you might fail. And I was like, yeah, I need to pass because I want to have fun. I don't want to wake up on my 22nd birthday having to still do a shorthand
exam. How did you do it then?
I told myself to relax.
You relaxed and you did it.
I said, I have anxiety about this thing, but I'm just not gonna let it control me.
So in the exam, you were just like,
every time I practiced my exam, I said, okay, relax your shoulders. Okay, just breathe. Okay, it's not that fast. I had to keep telling myself that, so that this feeling or this emotion of anxiety, this condition of anxiety wouldn't control me. I was determined to pass the first time round, and I did.
Wow.
Because I was like, I'm not going to let it control me. I'm going to tell myself to relax. I know that I'm anxious, but it's not going to make me fail because I don't want to fail.
Come on.
So that's one rule that I live by. Like, yeah, feel what you're feeling, but don't let it control you because it's going to hold you back in so many ways. And really, you know you're capable. It's just this one hurdle you need to get over. So just relax your shoulders. When I was doing my driving lesson yesterday, I was like, okay, I'm a bit tense. I had to keep reminding myself, relax. Mm. You're anxious, but relax. Relax your shoulders. Breathe. It's okay. Yeah. You can do this.
Telling yourself it's okay.
Telling yourself it's okay. Like comforting your inner child. Like, it's okay.
It's all right.
You got this. Just that kind
take
of
it
thing.
Easy, yeah.
So yeah, that's the rule that I live by. Just feeling stuff, but not letting it take control because I am more powerful than this thing, and it really, really helps me.
No, that's really good.
I got my question for you. I feel like, should we skip this one? What's your dream job? I feel like I know what your dream job is.
Yeah,
true. I'll do the next one. Which fictional character do you wish you could meet?
Fictional character.
Yeah, from a movie, a TV show.
Okay. I wish I could meet.
Yeah.
I have like 700 movies going through my head right now. Okay, my favorite movie ever is Brown Sugar. If you haven't watched Brown Sugar, I don't know what to say, you know? So I would meet them because I love them and they're the best people ever.
Is Brown Sugar the one where they're like friends from childhood and they...
Yeah, they're basically friends from childhood. They've always loved each other, but they don't want to admit it.
Yeah.
And then, they actually... Okay, let me not spoil the whole plot of the movie, but... Spoiler! They end up marrying different people and going on and... No, actually, only one of them gets married. And then one gets into like a really good long-term relationship. And then they end up finding their way back to each other. Yeah. It's a lazy answer, just because I can't think of anything more poignant. So, but I would love to like be in the movie. I love the movie so much.
You like to be extra in the background.
Oh my God, I love it so much. Yeah.
Did they cheat on their partners to be together?
Yeah. It's a bit messy. Interesting. But, you know.
Interesting. I guess that's why you should really focus on the real love of your life rather than wasting people's time. You're going to break a few hearts.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Ah.
Okay, next question's for you to me.
Oh, yes. Oh, I've got it up here. Sorry. The next question is, okay, as a child, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Oh, I wanted to be so many things. I wanted to be a hairdresser. I wanted to be a businesswoman. I wanted to be an athlete. I wanted to be a...
See you being an athlete.
Yeah, I was on the path. But
Olympian.
Yeah.
I can see that. Right?
I could see it too. Yeah, I could. But
I wonder how you would have dealt with that though.
What, being an athlete?
Yeah.
I had a goal of being in the 2020 Olympics.
Oh.
But I was like 12 when I planned this. It was a long time ago. I wrote a life plan. I was like, okay, I'm going to start my business when I'm maybe 18 years old.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be in the Olympics. Then I'm going to do this. I wanted to be an inventor. I still kind of do sometimes, like making things with my hands.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be an architect. That was like my big career thing from like year 7 to like year 12. I wanted to be an architect.
Yeah.
Then I realized that I couldn't draw and I was bad at math. So I said, well, I'm going to be a writer instead. I've always wanted to be a writer though from day one. I wanted to be an author too. I think author is even beyond journalism. That's the thing I really want to do with my life.
Right.
And
right.
It's been the most consistent aspiration. So I think that's what I'm going to be.
Yeah.
That is what I'm going to be. Just give me some time.
Just give me some time. That's all I need.
Okay. If you were... Sorry, another one for you. If you were...
I'm so bad at these wacky, creative ones. Like, this should be for Defila.
If you were a cartoon character, who would you be?
Okay, so I joined an organization a while back, context. Mm-hmm. And they asked me to describe myself as an animal. Yeah. So I found that really difficult to do.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
It's very weird.
Because I feel like the way you are, you're a bit, oh my God, the inner animal in me. I just can't do that. Sorry, I have a tickle in my throat.
Yeah, get that out. Come on.
So sometimes I wish I was perceived a way that I'm not. So I said, I'm a butterfly. We all know I'm not a butterfly. But I wanted the organization
what do you mean
to perceive me as a gentle soul.
Oh, a gentle soul. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But really and truly, I feel like I didn't want to be annoying and say lion either.
Because I'm powerful.
You know if someone says they're a lion, oh, keep away.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'd probably be a hyena.
Because you love to laugh.
Yeah. I love to laugh. I just love enjoy. Like, I love laughing. I love enjoyment. Yeah, I think I'd be a hyena. I can be a bit cheeky as well.
Do you remember Lion King?
Well, the hyenas in Lion King.
I was so scared.
They were scary. And they were like...
And there was one hyena that was like the crazy one. Do you remember? And its eyes were in different directions.
Is that the old school Lion King?
Yeah, like yeah. Lion King 1 or something like that.
Yeah, but that's you said King. A character, yeah? Is it a cartoon character?
Yeah, yeah.
I would be Noddy. Make way for Noddy. Noddy.
Noddy.
I love that show. That would be me.
I couldn't have guessed the answer at all.
See?
Okay. Yes, Noddy.
It's me now. What skill would you like to master?
Pottery. I really want to learn how to do pottery. And I just want to like get into it and just make something with my hands. You know when you just want to like reconnect with your childhood? Like, yeah. I said, I wanted to be an inventor. I always used to make things. I used to like, at one point in primary school, I was knitting bags and selling them to people for like £2.
Oh, I like so
making
creative,
stuff
yeah.
or like making books or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I want to learn how to like mold something with clay because apparently clay really connects you to the earth and it's quite a soothing experience.
Okay.
Like playing with mud. So yeah, I want to learn pottery and I want to like make mugs and I don't know, little boxes and bowls and stuff like that too.
Yeah, that's
that
fun.
Would be ideal, yeah.
Apparently, like, you can go to, like, one of those classes. I want to go one day, actually. It seems fun.
Yeah, yeah. Like, ghost. Just go with your man and he'll hold your hand.
mold you in there.
Mold it with you.
We made this together.
Okay, next question. In what situation would you feel the most out of place?
Okay. Anything to do with, like... too much adventure. You see, like when you go to like those obstacle courses and people are like, we're just gonna abseil off the back of this like waterfall or anything really active, really sporty, really, I would just feel completely out of place. I hate heights. I hate walking. I hate exercise. I hate anything to do with like coldness. I have really bad memory. So when I was 16, I went on an NTS trip, and we did a 6-hour hike.
Oh dear.
Uphill. Right? Was and I said to my well? It was freezing cold. Oh. I said to my team, leave me. I will not be able to make it. Go ahead without me. I can't make it. I'm flat footed. I'm overweight and I won't make it. And they were like, no, we'll wait for you as a team.
That's the thing, they're determined.
It's so
to
annoying.
Feel good.
So I couldn't like let the team down. I have this thing, if I'm part of a team, I will push myself to the length that you can't imagine.
That's good.
So I end up doing the hike, get into the place, cool. Got to the place and we had to be in pairs in tents, right? And so I was in a pair with this girl and I promise you, I was so cold in the middle of the night that there were electric shocks. Leaving my body. Leaving. Have you guys been that cold before?
Leaving your body.
No, have you guys ever been that cold?
I don't know.
It feels like electricity, like sparks of electricity. I don't know what it is. There must be a name for it. I was so cold and I was wet. Like the ground was wet. That was the last time I ever did camping. So I feel the most out of place in those situations. And some people love it. At 6 a.m. they're up. You know, they're like, oh, we're doing a hike up there. I hate that. Yeah,
did you go for a hike in warm weather though?
No.
No.
Okay. Right. Yeah, nothing to do with walking.
Okay, so if I was to name some, jet skiing.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's a bit adventurous.
Skydiving.
No way.
Bungee jumping.
No.
Rock climbing.
No.
Swimming.
I love swimming, to be fair.
That's good. That's
but
good.
I don't like, for example, one day a duffel was like to me, let's go to a cafe. And I was like, oh, yeah, sure, let's go. So we got out at Bermondsey. And I thought the cafe was going to be opposite the station, you know, 5-minute walk at tops. She proceeded to take me on a 45 minute walk. After 20 minutes, I said, "Oh, you're arriving." She's like, "Yeah, that's the problem when your Olympian to a friend." Yeah, no, it's fine. Let's just go down there. I don't like impromptu. I need to prepare for the suffering.
You know what? In my mind, it wasn't that far away.
Oh my God, it was far.
But I didn't realize until you kept saying that you're not there. I said, "Yeah, but I'm still not there."
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Had a nice coffee though in the end. It was worth it.
I tell you.
Am I next?
Yeah,
I know it's you next, number 12.
Oh, okay, cool. Number 12, yeah?
Mm.
What artist do you really like but rarely admit to liking?
I don't think there's anybody that I'm like, I have to admit that I like. I think I'm past that stage now.
Okay.
I think back in school, there would have been people. Like back, I remember this one time when I was in secondary school, I was listening to one Mary Mary song, and then... Do you remember
when it wasn't cool to listen to gospel music?
Exactly.
It was, you know, someone could come to you and you have your headphones and what are you listening to?
That's what happened. So I was at school and back then we used to be like, oh, what are you listening to? We used to Bluetooth songs to each other.
Yeah, yeah.
So I must have listened to like something from the Thankful album or something like that.
Yeah.
My friend goes, oh, what are you listening to? And it was like Mary Mary Thankful.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, it's just some song my mum plays in the car. I just came up on my phone. I was so embarrassed to even say that I like Mary Mary.
Yeah.
Because I knew she wouldn't even know who Mary Mary is. And back then it was like, listen to music that everybody knows, because if you don't, you're weird and you're not cool, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I went through this pop punk phase in like year 10 or like year 9, year 10, where I liked, I don't know, like All Time Low and Paramore. I liked Arctic Monkeys, just all kind of do, just artists like that, basically.
Right.
Luckily, my best friend loved it too, so we just went together.
Yeah.
But I knew that if word got around, it would be embarrassing. But now there's nobody that I'm ashamed to say that I like, because I'm not a kid anymore.
Yeah. Because the question is loaded. It does make it seem like you're ashamed to do it. But I'm trying to think if there's any artist that I'm, no.
I mean, there are some songs where it's like.
Not really.
If you tell someone you like this song, like a lot of songs from the 80s that I like, that are just, they sound so 80s. It's like cheesy. And it's like, if you play it for somebody, they'll be like, oh, you like this.
Okay. Something that I do like that would be weird maybe, or that I don't really talk about, is I really like country music.
Okay. Yeah.
And I like, so I have this thing where there's a playlist in my mind of songs that are played at Ugandan weddings.
Okay.
And it's like, from this moment. That's not country though, to be fair. But I love songs like that. Another song like, Looks Like We Made It. They said I better never make it. But just look.
Do you guys know what song?
Anything that you play on Magic Radio.
Magic. Oh, Magic.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's really good. Yeah.
Oh, I do like songs from that. Is that from like the 80s or the 90s or something?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I love them a lot, but they're very much a mood. And sometimes if someone's we listen to, we'll be like, oh, I'm listening to this song from 1987.
I love Dolly Parton. I love Celine Dion. But I feel like that's my parents' influences. But I love a bit of Jolene. I love it. So yeah.
I love Dolly Parton too. She's so lovely. Unproblematic.
Unproblematic, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, true. Is it me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What gets you fired up?
Oh, racism. I hate racism. I do, but not my answer.
go back to where you come from, mate. It.
What gets me fired up? What gets me fired up is conversations about black women and hair.
Okay.
I just have so much to say about it.
Yeah.
And we did that hair episode. I think it was like our 10th episode or something like that. Or a long time
ago.
And I think the main thing that gets me fired up is, I feel like with so many things in life, especially with race, we acknowledge the fact that it's unfair and that black people have been mistreated and stuff like that too. But we don't let that stop us from now progressing and doing our best to do the best that we can and what we've got, you know. I won't let the fact that people in this world are racist affect me trying to get this career or trying to be a CEO. You know what I mean? Like, we ignore the fact that we've been mistreated in the past, but we don't just stop there. And I feel like with black women and hair, we don't do the same thing. It's like we talk about how we've been held back in our lives and how black women are treated badly because of the hair that grows out of their scalps, especially hair that's a bit more towards the quote-unquote 4C texture.
Right.
But a lot of us just stop there. We don't let the fact that people don't like it stop us from looking at what our hair looks like, stop us from embracing our natural hair more than we actually do.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, they don't like it, so I have to do this to it. They're not going to employ me, so I have to do that. And I think we find a bit too much comfort in hiding behind the history than acknowledging it and just moving forward and normalizing seeing natural hair everywhere.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, how come in so many different areas we're so happy to be like, yeah, even though they're racist back then, I'm going to now succeed. In so many areas of our lives, black people, when it comes to hair, it's like, oh, they won't like it.
Oh, too much, come on.
They're like, I'm just going to do this. It's like, and nowadays I'm seeing a lot more in terms of like, I don't know, it's like there's just this battle and it's like we're never going to come to a conclusion that it's actually okay to be 100% having your hair out or 100% quote-unquote natural. It's like we always hide behind that and I feel like we make it sound like it's impossible to live that lifestyle anymore. But if you go back to like the civil rights era and like the 70s and the 80s, it's like there were Afros everywhere.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a problem. It was fine.
Mm-hmm.
So it just kind of gets me fired up because I feel like we're just a bit tone deaf sometimes because we found comfort in covering up our hair.
Protective hairstyle, yeah.
Quote unquote protective. And a lot of these protective styles are becoming unprotective styles because we wear them so much.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
we're
yeah.
like losing value, what we've told ourselves that it's okay because if not, they won't employ me.
Mm.
That's not true.
Right.
It's just not true. So it gets me fired up. And I could speak about it for ages and ages, but I feel like it's a conversation that we can't come to a collective agreement about. But yeah,
that gets me
fired up. My question to you is, what annoys you the most about the fandoms you're part of? Are you part of a fandom?
Okay, I love Wizkid, so okay. I would say I'm part of that.
Yeah.
What annoys me the most and what really hurt my feelings?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So everyone's excited, the concert's coming up, you know, someone tweeted, if you're not from West Africa, don't come to the concert. And I took that personally because I'm a Ugandan girl and I will sing every word like a Yoruba girl. I will sing it better than the Yoruba girls out there in the crowd. Like, it annoys me that people feel like, oh yeah, you know, you're not West African or you're not Nigerian and you can't really enjoy it. That aspect of it. I know they're joking, obviously.
And if Nigeria is making those jokes.
Of course. Wizkid FC, you know. Yeah. But yeah, that's really it, really. Yeah.
That's definitely the nature of Nigerian people. Like, I know we could be quite loud sometimes. That's just the way we are. But I do get it. It's like, it's always said as a joke, but it's funny when you take a joke personally.
Yeah.
Like, I know you were joking, but that actually affected me. Like, I do love Wizkid.
No. I love him.
I get that. You're asking me. I was like, which one's mine?
We're so bad at this. Imagine if we were actually like people that interviewed people. Right. So next question. What do you do to get rid of stress?
I don't know. I don't think there's anything that I do because I don't really realise when I'm stressed, which is a problem. I realise when it's a bit too late and my body's literally reacting to it and like shouting red flags. I guess if I was to realise that I'm stressed in the moment, I'd probably do the whole relaxation thing again, like telling myself to calm down, that it's okay. Removing myself from the situation. So if something I'm doing like for work on my laptop is stressful to me, I'd just like step away from it and just maybe lie down on the sofa and not look at my laptop for a while, or I'd say go for a walk. But I don't like going on walks. I like walking to places.
Yeah, got like, you.
I'll walk to McDonald's, but I won't go on a walk past McDonald's. I have to get something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think removing myself from the source of the stress and then kind of breaking it down and asking myself, is the whole thing stressful, or is it just one aspect of it that's stressful, and how can I like tackle that to reduce my stress? But I don't think I'm the kind of person that is too aware of when I'm stressed out, which is something I'm trying to work on right now because it's really affecting me recently. So yeah, that's my answer, I guess, but I don't know, I have to ask you for some advice.
When I'm stressed, what do I do? I think I like to talk. Yeah, like I will talk about it and be like, yeah, this is really stressing me out. But then I can bury my head in the sand and pretend like it's just it doesn't exist. So yeah, there's that aspect of it, which is obviously not with the best. But yeah, I do. Yeah, I think I just try to talk about it really.
Are you ever one to rant to people?
If I'm stressed, no. If I'm annoyed, yeah. Like if there's a specific thing that's annoyed me, I will like go on and on about it, but not necessarily, because I feel like stress is just something that is not necessarily solved in 2 minutes. It's like something that's consistent almost. So yeah, that's a bit different, but yeah.
Okay, next question. You have to relive one day of your life forever. Which day do you choose?
Forever?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Pick a good day.
The day I gave my life to Christ.
What better day?
Oh man, relive forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's correct. Because I skimmed through the questions and I didn't read the forever part, so that's quite difficult.
Okay, if I remove forever, is it a bit easier? If you could just relive it, at least relive the day. Yeah.
I would actually relive the day that I was with my lovely cousins and just sitting right here in this room, and we went to the Wizkid concert on my 16th birthday. I loved that day so much. So if I could relive that, I genuinely would. It was so much
fun. What was good about it?
Oh, so at the time I really loved Eddie Caddy. I still love him.
Oh, I remember him.
And so when I got there, he was like the MC, he was basically organizing the whole thing. So that was like a nice touch. I was with my favorite people in the whole wide world, and it was Wizkid. Like, it doesn't get any
better. What could you ask for?
And we were like near the front, and they were playing so much Afro. And so the school I grew up in was predominantly Caribbean. So yeah, there was a bit of Afrobeats here and there, but I had never been in a room with like people that love Afrobeats to the same extent that I did. And I was like, oh my God, everyone knows this song. Like, it's not just bashment. Like, yeah. I loved it. So yeah, it was the best.
That sounds nice. It was like your first ever concert as well.
Yeah, it was. And I remember literally like telling my dad that I wanted to go, and he was like, oh, he's cute. So can you show us a song? Show us a song of it. I found the best song, like as in the most PG song I could find. And they were like, oh, okay, Nigeria, they love Nigeria. So yeah, it was fun. I'd relive that.
Oh, that reminds me, a couple of days ago, there's this advert on TV right now. I don't know what it's advertising, but it's got Bonnie and Clyde by Beyonce and Jay-Z like playing in the background,
right?
And I was singing along. I'm almost like, oh, what song is this? And the words were on the screen. And she saw All I Need in This Life of Sin.
No.
She was like, I told you these lyrics aren't good for you.
It's me and my girlfriend.
I said, girl, you're looking at the wrong part of the song. They laugh when they see these lyrics.
Do you know like how you'll like be listening to the song and you won't really take it in?
Yeah.
And it's for your parent to come and say, that's all I need in this life of sin.
That's what she was like. I was like, I told you these songs aren't good. Like, oh, I know.
I got you, man. Yeah, it's me.
It's all.
How quickly do you jump to conclusions about people?
Someone said very quickly in the background there. I guess quite quickly. Yeah. If this is speaking about people that I've just met.
Yeah.
I think quickly. I think we all do it. That's what first impressions are. It's like based on what you've observed about this person and maybe a few things they've said, what do you class them as, like what category of person are you going to put them into? I think I do that quite quickly. Jump to conclusions in general, I do that even faster. I'm thinking about me, I'm a jump, because I need that clarity right now. And if you can't give it to me, I'll find it myself. And there have been some instances recently where I've jumped to a conclusion and I've been right or adjacent to right.
Okay.
I trust my instinct.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to like learning how to own it as well. Not even be like, I think this happened. I'll be like, I know this happened. Even
this happened. I was
there. Yeah, I was even there. Even though I'm probably wrong or something. I think it's cool when you actually own something. And even on that note, it's like, I'm trying to answer questions with confidence, even if I don't know that's the answer. I don't want to be this person that's like, oh, I think this, but I might be wrong. Or it's this, but I'm not sure. Like, I'm just going to say it's this. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I think that's more admirable than always giving an answer that you're, And you're so uncertain with everything.
Yeah, we're so afraid to be wrong, isn't it?
It's like, why? At what point am I going to be confident in the answer that I give and be happy to learn when I find out that I'm wrong?
Yeah,
that's better than being like, oh, I said I feel like this, just so that if I was wrong, I would be safe. Like, that's living in fear, and I want to live in confidence. So I think even if I'm jumping to a conclusion, it turns out I'm wrong. Okay, fine, own it, move on. That's it.
Yeah, true.
That's one thing. I forgot the question, but yeah, that's my conclusion.
Jumping into conclusions. Yeah,
jumping to conclusions.
Yeah.
Okay, next one. If you keep getting these questions, if you were a doll, what accessories would you be sold with?
Okay, I love pink, so I'd have a all pink outfit. I don't wear pink that much though, but I love pink, okay. So I have to have an all pink outfit.
What would the outfit be? Would it be a dress? Would it be pink jeans? Pink sandals.
It would be a dress because I'm embracing my inner femininity.
Yes,
you
yes,
know. Yeah. And yeah, it would come with like 7 bags because I'm such a bag person. Mm-hmm. And what else would it come with?
What items?
I'm so bad at this creative stuff, I'm telling you.
Maybe a pink Bible.
Maybe a pink Bible, you pink, know, why not?
Pink microphone.
God's girl. It would say God's girl on the dress, do you get what I mean?
Okay. I feel like if I was to make a doll of Joyce.
Yes.
I'd give her a pink microphone because you like to sing.
Yes.
Yeah. I'd give her...
I hate owning that, you know. When people tell me I like to sing or you sing, I hate to own that.
Why?
Because it comes with a side dish of expectation I cannot fulfill.
Yeah, but
do you know what I mean? Have you ever met someone and be like, oh, you sing? Oh, do you know what happened to me one time? I met a group of people for the first time and the person asked me the question so quickly that I was like, my instinct was to be like, yeah, I do. But I haven't sang in 7 years. Mm-hmm. Did someone not hop on the piano? Someone hopped on the piano and started playing, what song was it? It was My Life Is In Your Hands, Kirk Franklin.
And they wanted you to just start vocalizing.
Everyone was looking at me. No. You don't have to worry. I said, well, I'm worrying right now because I'm not prepared vocally or mentally. So yeah, I don't sing anymore.
You don't have to use the mic, but it would be in your box.
I'd use a mic to talk. I love to talk.
I'd give you a mic to talk. So just the mic in general, you know, a multifaceted mic.
Come on.
I'd give you that. I'd also give you a collection of Chimamanda's books.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I'd give you that. I would give you bags too.
Yes.
And what else would I give you? I'd give you perfume.
Okay. Like nice, I'm into perfumes now.
I'd give you like nice perfumes too. And it can be that simple, I think. I think those come with like 4 accessories anyway. And they would all be pink. Since you like pink so much.
Yes.
That's what I would give you.
Cool. I think it's going to be our last question. The last question is, what have you done in your life that has given you the most satisfaction?
Good question. I think. Okay, I guess I'd say deciding that I'm just going to write forever, basically. Mm-hmm. I think that's like one decision that I've never, second thought, a decision that I've never strayed away from as well. Just deciding that I'm just going to write in whatever capacity I can and wanting to do it regardless of money and not having money be my motivation means that it's a lot more genuine and it never really fades away. Because it's not contingent on something that I can't always access, you know?
Right.
So yeah, I think it's given me the most satisfaction because it always gives me joy. It always gives me clarity, always gives me peace. And every now and then actually helps somebody else. So it's like a 10 out of 10, basically. That's what gives me the most satisfaction.
That's lovely.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Are we at the end?
Yeah, at the end, man.
Well, thank you guys for listening. Have you found out about more about us because that was very fun for us to do.
Yes.
There's actually a few more, but we can't get around to them right now, but that's fine. Next time we do these, hopefully you have questions as well that you can think of to ask yourself to learn more about yourself. Equally as important.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Anyway.
We just want
to just want to thank you.
We just want to lift you up.
We just want to exalt your name right now, Lord. I have been a Daffala.
And it's been your girl, Joyce.
Bye.